Today on Black Twitter Talk, we are talking Kanye is over party and the cast of Hamilton's powerful message to Vice President-elect Mike Pence and more. Stay tuned. Hey, this is my jam. Hey guys, this is Childish Gambino, Redbone. I have this on repeat right now. I can't stop. I am your host, Angie Skates. You can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates and on the gram at Big_Ange. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Kels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Urban Gypsy LA.
I'm really excited about Childish Gambino's new album.
He's been coming with it. I know, every avenue.
He has the Atlanta show.
Yes, that everybody's loving.
It's so good. I've only seen a couple of episodes, but I'm going to binge watch very soon.
Yes.
He has his other single, Me and Your Mama.
That one's good, too.
It's so good.
And
the visuals are ridiculous, and this album is slated to drop December 2nd, and I am anxiously awaiting. Let's just get right into it.
Okay, girl, let's do it.
Okay, so Twitter been on fire talking about Kanye, and the hashtag is Kanye is over party. A lot of people feel like this is not news. This is very representative of Kanye.
Not surprised.
Typical. And, you know, I try to stick up for the guy. I feel like a lot of the things that he says and does have been taken out of context.
Whoa. What did he say for everybody that doesn't know?
Okay, so he's on tour for, Saint
Pablo?
Yeah, whatever.
Like
he
that.
Changed the album name so many times, but it's Saint Pablo tour. Mm-hmm. And he did a concert a couple of days ago where he says that if he would have voted, which means he didn't vote, he would have voted
Problem
for Trump.
Problem number one.
He would have voted for Trump. He says that there are things about his campaign that he really liked. I'm not sure what. Maybe it was the pussy grabbing. I don't know. I don't know what about it was good. And he says that black people talk about race too much. That was the first concert. A couple days later, he does another concert in Sacramento, okay, where he goes on this rant about Beyonce. Now he's talking about Beyonce, and the Beehive ain't having that. You already know how they react.
Can't talk about
Beyonce. He talks about Beyonce. He talks about Jay-Z. He talks about Hillary Clinton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he talks about everybody. He basically says that Beyonce refused to perform at the VMAs, and he was really hurt by it because I guess he wanted him and Beyonce to do a set. But she's like, I ain't coming to the VMAs unless I win Video of the Year for Formation. And apparently Kanye is up for Fade and Taylor Swift is up for whatever Taylor Swift does. I'm not really into that. And of course Beyonce's going to get it because they want her to come perform. And he's just saying that the music industry is too much politics. And he just kept ranting, I'm on my Trump. And he F the radio. Like he was kind of incoherent in a lot of ways, but you know,
that's typical too of Kanye.
I know. I can't stand up for the guy anymore, though.
No. I mean, as far as him saying the part where we focus on or talk about race too much,
it's like
on one hand, I can understand where he's coming from. Not from the side where it's like, oh, I'm a Trump supporter or, you know, where I just don't relate to people who talk about race. Apparently, I got some lipstick on my teeth.
I was trying to be incognito.
No.
Okay. You got it, though.
I can't stand her. So outside of that, I do feel that sometimes we get so caught up in discussing it. Like, even doing the show, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like talking about that right now.
No.
I just want to focus on progressing and doing what I can as a woman of color in my community.
Right. And I was trying to understand that. Like, but Kanye, do you really think we want to talk about race all the damn time?
Right.
Like, I don't want to wake up and say, I'm a black... Like, I don't...
I get tired of it, too.
But you don't tell an arena of predominantly white people that black people shouldn't talk about race.
Exactly.
That's not the move. Okay?
Exactly.
And I don't know, dude. Like... You
he's out of touch because it's like, if this was... I feel like when he...
when he talked about race, that Kanye that everybody loved.
First of all, it was Bush doesn't like black people. Yes. And then it was the fashion industry is racist.
Right. And they have this ceiling. So it's like, okay, well, you talked about it and you were saying none of us understood, da, 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 but now you're like, oh, you're talking about it too much. So you're not making sense. And then it's like you're forgetting the level of power that they have, like, because when it affects you, then it's important and that's all you want to talk about. But if it doesn't affect you, now you think that you've gotten past and through the doors that you want to get in, you're good.
He's kind of reminiscent of Lil Wayne's rant on Black Lives Matter about how his class trumps race.
Yes.
And I don't think that's true at all. I think that Kanye doesn't have a good support system around him. I think if he had people that were really on his side, that were really, really real, they would tell him, babe, you don't need to go on tonight. You need to take some time away from this. Because you're losing money. I went to a concert when he was playing at Inglewood and he walked off early and they gave us the option to go see him again or get our money back.
And then you said the one where he was talking about Beyonce. Did he leave early on both of those?
First of all, he had Kid Cudi come out and perform with him. This was in Sacramento, and that was huge. That's a big deal. Kid Cudi was in rehab. This is the first time that they performed that song, Stretch Out My Father's Hands, together. But apparently they performed it twice, and he went on a 15-minute rant, and then he ended the concert 30 minutes in.
Yeah, someone said he took 5 minutes to tie his shoe, and he dropped the mic.
Yeah, they were throwing things at him, and they were saying F Kanye.
Because honestly, it's like, they didn't come there to talk to you about politics. They don't care about your political views. Like, we actually get kind of irritated now when you talk about that. So, we came for the art, we came for the performance, we came for the lit-up stage and the mosh pit under it, like... Somebody tweeted, it's not even 2017 yet, and Kanye already lost the 2020 presidency.
I mean, people were putting him on the ticket with Trump for 2020, and apparently he's with that. I don't know. I can't vouch for this man anymore. Kanye, you're canceled.
I mean, we stopped vouching for him a long time ago. Let's keep it real.
But I would still try to find some kind of level of separation between the obviously confused and man. But
he definitely... treads that thin line between genius and insanity. And
insane.
Yeah, he has no filter. And I mean, it's your world, babe. If that's what you want to say, that's what you want to do, cool. But we're not here for that.
Nope. Sorry, Kanye, you've been canceled. Okay, next up. So, Hamilton, which is one of the leading Broadway plays right now. Tickets on average are like $850. So it's not like regular people are going to see this musical. But Hamilton, it's like, I don't know, it's a story of the presidents, Alexander Burr, Hamilton, I don't know.
Through sounds really
the
corny.
Medium of rap. And it's not something that I ever wanted to see, but if I got the opportunity to go to a live Broadway show, why would I turn that down?
Yeah, I know a couple people that are in it who I love.
Yes, Leslie Odom Jr.,
Donald Weber.
Aunt Donald, hey, shout out to
shout
you.
Shout out, Inglewood.
Representing. I'm proud of these guys, and if, like I said, if I had the opportunity to go, but $850 for a Broadway show, it's too rich for me. So what happened was Vice President-elect Mike Pence went to see the show, and one of the leads, Brandon Dixon, called him out in a very respectful way, much like art does, and we're basically saying that we are people and we are rooting for you to stand up for us too, you know, in so many words. And of course, he got a lot of backlash from that. Donald Trump, with his Twitter fingers, took to Twitter and was demanding an apology, saying that the theater is supposed to be a safe space. And all of Trump's supporters are saying, boycott the show. And we're like, y'all can't even afford the show, though. So.
I mean, I feel like when you watch the video of what he said, it's not even that bad. It's actually, I don't know. I like it.
It's inspiring.
It's inspiring. The whole cast is behind him, so you can tell it was a group effort. It's not like he just stole the mic and said, and another thing,
right?
Like, no, like, and he had a poke. It was eloquently said, and he wasn't being rude.
The audience members were booing Pence.
They did.
But that is not indicative of the cast.
It's like, when else would this man have an opportunity to say something to him?
You in they house. Like, you on they turf.
But somebody did say, well, when you do a theater show, you are inviting the audience into your house and to basically attack him like that in your house when he thinks he's coming into a safe space to enjoy art, like, that's wrong. And it's no different, supposedly, than how when, like, Black people came to the Trump rallies and things like that and got attacked.
Oh, they were physically attacked and verbally assaulted. There is nothing that was intrusive or unpleasant about what Brandon said at all.
Very true.
So, first of all, Trump, shut up. Second of all, Trump, shut up. Third of all, Trump, you already know the deal. Shut your mouth. Mike Pence even said that he was not offended by the comments. So then, of course, Donald Trump backtracked it and deleted tweets and all that jazz.
Yeah. It's like, how do you even have time to tweet, Mr.
Like, aren't
Trump?
You supposed to be the president? And a lot of people are saying that this is a distraction from what's really important, which I don't really think that it's holds that much weight. And we can multitask. Hello. The $25 million settlement for the Trump University fraud lawsuit that was against him. Mm-hmm. He settled out. And I think, like, there's some kind of code of ethics that, you know, goes directly against the office that he holds come January.
Right.
And a lot of people are saying that this was a distraction from that story. And I'm just like, hello, we are intelligent beings. We can have public discourse on more than one topic.
But if I keep it real, I haven't heard that much about that as I have heard about the Hamilton case.
That's
or the Hamilton
true.
Issue.
This is true. But it's still all over Twitter. Thanks to Twitter for being very well-rounded in the way that it covers the stories.
And a lot of times now, like, Twitter, like, there's that discussion about media and basically it being propaganda and we're not getting real news anymore. And, like, Twitter, I feel like, is the space for us to talk about Hamilton and Kanye and how that affects us in the political social realm. But when you go to the real news outlets, like, we should be hearing about the real stuff, not this stuff. And they report a lot about our Twitter stuff too.
I think the mainstream media and the pundits are less informed on our than the personalities and the Twitter people that we engage with on Twitter, honestly.
No, that's for sure. They come and get the information
from
them.
Twitter. Like, yeah. We are leading how media is shaping their stories, you
yes.
know?
So, speaking of how we're shaping the stories in media these days, the company media platform Blavity recently put on a Afrotech conference in San Francisco. Blavity is the founder and CEO is Morgan DeBon, and she hosted this, and she originally only expected about 300 people and it ended up being over 600 people, and she basically invited a bunch of people of color to come down and talk about the tech industry and the media industry. And it actually turned out to be an amazing, amazing event.
Yeah.
And, like, some of the people that went there are just talking about, like, we're talking about safe spaces or whatnot. Like, the tech industry is an industry that they make us feel like there's not a lot of people of color there, and it's not always a comfortable situation to go to these type of events because you're one of few.
Right. But in this particular event, we dominated.
Yes.
And it was just very representative of the fact that we always talk about here, that there is not one kind of Black people.
Right.
It spoke to the diversity of us and the interest that we do hold in the tech world. Not only the interest, but the talent that is there
right.
as well.
Yeah, they had Everett Taylor there. He's the vice president of marketing at Skirt, which is a new
company. I wanted to try that service, but they don't deliver to the Valley.
Yeah, so Skirt, if you don't know, is like this new rental car company that's kind of similar to Uber in a sense. Like, you can basically order your skirt and they'll come and deliver you your rental car, and it's not a normal rental car company. Like, they have access to, like, different fleets, and you can get really nice
cars
for the low,
and it's not a lot of paperwork involved. You don't have to sign your life away. All they need is your driver's license and your credit card number.
And then
go ahead.
Also Jessica Matthews is there. She's the founder and CEO of Uncharted Play, which is a company that basically make these, like, tech toys that power communities that don't have power. It's I almost don't even understand it all the way, but when I'm reading about it, I'm like, that sounds really cool and damn near impossible. And it's crazy that this Black woman is the founder and CEO of this amazing company, you know?
They get 7 million hits per month. This is Blavity.
Yeah.
And this is Blavity, which is kind of branding itself as a social tech media company that also has a lot of writers and, you know, a lot of creative people that are, you know, employed through the company. And I'm just really excited to see how they push, you know, the Afrotech community to the forefront.
Because you know, in their start, they focus more on the content and the news and, like, having clothing merchandise and things like that. But they're saying, like, their goal is more so to brand themselves as a tech company as well. So I am excited as well to see what they have up their sleeves. Because I followed the CEO before on Snapchat, and I'm like, she always working. She's a never not working boss babe type girl.
That's
and
how you gotta be.
Of course. And I'm just like, what is she working on?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, they said they're going to do an all-women one, all women of color tech conference next.
That would be awesome. I'm not a tech person, but I'm interested.
I love tech stuff.
I know you do. That's why you're talking about it. but I'm just interested. I'm glad to celebrate people that are doing well in the things that they really like to do, especially right. in the world that we live in today. The world that we live in today is tragic sometimes. It's so tragic.
Sometimes.
I know. So this is not a new story, but I just recently read an article on Twitter that was written a couple of days ago about the Nestle CEO buying the rights to public water.
I don't even understand how that
works. You
like
know how you know
slay.
How they already took the land, and then there's like certain airspace. Like now right. they've propagated the water. Like the hell. So apparently, the Nestle CEO back in 2000 lobbied successfully that water is no longer a universal right. How is this possible? How is water not a universal right? We all need water to survive. And this is indicative of the No Dapple protest that we covered a couple of weeks ago. And a lot of people don't necessarily like when we cover issues like this. But, you know, we're going to tell the truth. And then we ain't going to wrap it up in a candy bar and make it all sweet and good to you.
Because it's real sour.
Public, like, water.
Like, we literally all need that to survive. But it reminds me, too, of the GMO and our foods and stuff and how they're not required to label and really tell you what's in the food. It's like, what the heck? Like, I'm going to pay for it and I can't know what it is and it's not even real.
Like, even Whole Foods is supposed to be a Whole Foods grocery store. Like, they've given in to the Monsanto Seed Act. So their produce isn't even real mm-hmm. anymore. Like, where do we go? What do we do?
Yeah, I just recently saw a video on Twitter where the lady has, like, this cabbage that she bought and she puts it over the fire, like a leaf of it, and it doesn't do anything, and she just holds it over there for a cool minute, doesn't do anything, and then she like starts to stretch it, and basically it's plastic.
It's ridiculous.
And then we wonder why cancer and all these other diseases. Like,
so
we're
sick?
Eating plastic, like, and who knows what else.
We're not well and we can't even tell. So what does this mean for us? Like, what has it meant since 2000? That Nestle is going to make billions. They're going to profit, of course, and we're going to end up spending $2,000 times more on bottled water just for living. Like,
you know what? I drink the Nestle water brand.
Don't. It's the
worst. I just
realized
that.
And that's another thing. A lot of times we can't draw the line from our oppression to capitalism. We have to be aware of where we're spending our dollars. We have to be aware of who we bank with. Black Friday is coming up. I encourage you not to go out in masses and spend your monies with these companies.
But
you
what need if they need some things and they need it on a discount.
Buy black. Buy small companies. Buy mom and pop. Do your homework. Do your research. And buy small business. Support small business. Support black business. We have the power to dismantle.
Yeah, we have to bring it back to our community. Like,
we have to.
Where
it
we
depends
can,
on
at
our
least.
Survival.
Like, there's some areas where it seems damn near impossible, but wherever we can, we do have to do it. And we have to. It's a lot of work to do.
It is a lot of work.
Where do
we start? I don't know. I just want to say, I want to bring this to light since we're talking about water. The Flint water crisis. It's been 2 years and counting. And
2 years?
2 years and counting, and they still don't have clean drinking water. And this reminds me of one of my favorite authors, Octavia Butler. Seeds of Harvest is like the whole anthology, but I believe it's Parable of the Talent specifically, where I'm starting to see some of the things.
Parable of the Sower.
Parable of the Sower, where I'm starting to see. I read them all back to back, so it's one book to me.
Excuse us, girl. Mm-hmm.
But like, we're starting to see some of the things that she wrote about, like, actually happening.
Yeah.
It's really scary. I don't know, y'all.
But like my grandma said today, keep your head up.
Ooh. That's gems. That's another thing that I'm looking forward to. Like, in the midst of all of this craziness that's happening in the outside world, is spending some time with family.
Yeah, this week I'm excited about that, too. We need that. I think I liked, I was online, and some companies aren't going to be open on Thanksgiving, like, because they're recognizing that this is a time to spend with family. And it's like, we got so caught up in spending money and going out and getting the deals. It's like, we need to go be under Big Mama, eat some home food,
some vegan meals. Preferably vegan.
I'm making the mac and cheese with real cheese, even though I'm vegan sometimes.
I'm vegan all the time, so that just won't do. I'm just kidding.
It's okay, but Thanksgiving ain't the same without the real mac and cheese. Whatever. So, y'all.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to more of this. Like, I just need to recuperate and recharge with my family, and I encourage you all to do the same. This is the season for it.
Your family.
Yes, and forget all that mess out there. Be careful about what you take in. Like, it really does affect you and how you, well, me, and how I deal with things. So,
you too.
Yeah, you too. So, that's it. I think that's all we got for them today. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys next time. Week. Make sure you comment and stuff, too.
Yes. I'm your host, Angie Skates. Again, you can find me on Twitter at @Angie_Skates.
And I'm your girl, Kels. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheUrbanGypsyLA.
See y'all next week.
Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.